Already had some growing pains, but we're getting better. And Nishay has done fantastic at taking this and running with it. So thank you, Nishay.
Yeah, there's always thank you.
Okay, if you guys come across anything that you don't know, you should all have my cell phone number. You can text me, and I can look into it, or send me an email, and I can do it that way as well. I feel like the how-to videos, yes, they're very dry, but they're very...
We just listened to them already, that's all.
Yeah.
I just need to do that.
Well, I thought the second one
will do
helpful.
That tonight.
I mean, the second one helps you navigate that bar of, you know, what to do with the bar at the top.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about this here.
The second video, yeah. The first, the agenda access was helpful.
So, Matt, when you were talking about things that weren't posted draft form, is that under the document library? Is that, what is the document library? That's one of the things we have.
Yeah,
we have all those buttons.
So,
no, that, you clicked on the wrong button.
No, no, there's document library right here.
Okay.
I clicked on the wrong
there's the
button.
Public and internal. There's public and internal. So there's nothing in there.
So there's nothing in here right now because we don't have any of our documents loaded to the library.
But what's, what would
so,
be...
So, like, our past agendas will be here.
In public?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was public, yeah. And then there's an internal button, too.
There's an
and depending on
yeah,
your...
Yeah, if you go back to home...
So, like, depending on your user rights, when we talked about that draft
thing... That one right there.
Sorry, no, this one.
See how it gives you two options.
So the internal is going to be like a one use for internal would be archive policy. So that if you wanted to go in and look and say, what was the prior version of this policy, or what was the version of this policy before the last two updates, you would be able to see it. The public is just going to show the current policy.
Okay.
As far as the draft meetings that I was talking about, that's going to be controlled by your user rights. So we might say principals can go in and view draft meetings. Board members can go in and view draft meetings. General public cannot go in and view draft
meetings. But it's still going to be on that meetings tab?
But it would still be there, yes. But it wouldn't show on
there.
The public site. It wouldn't be an option.
Do we need to get a certification?
For this program?
No.
Nope, just go and watch your videos and be glad that your board members only have two videos to watch.
Do we need to do product updates? Anything? Like, I have 25 product updates. Do I need an update of it? Like,
if you want to, you can look at them, but really all I did was just... open it and then scroll to the bottom, and then that took that number away.
Oh, I can exit it.
I only
exit all of them out. I just didn't know if we needed to.
And then right now, I do already have some of this linked on our website. So. Melissa, you were asking where the budget is on our website. It's under district, and then, sorry, I can't.
Is that board?
Nope. It's under district and a business office.
Oh, under board says budget, too.
And then you put the budget. Yeah, I mean, that's why our website's a mess, is because there's like 7,000 places to find the same thing.
Well, as long as they go to the same place, sometimes they...
Mm-hmm. And that's what's hard is you there because there's so many places that it's all linked. You don't know that you've actually got all of them. So here, when you go to board and you go to meeting minutes, if you click on this one, these are our meeting minutes that we've already done. Oh, and it doesn't look like it saved my. Changes. Okay, so I had put it in there, but I guess I didn't publish it. I had a link in here that is for our new meetings. And then it was the same thing for the agenda packets. But I guess I did not publish them. But so there will be a link there for those.
A link to diligent communities?
Yep.
And they'll have to create, if you're like a community member, do you have to create anything?
Nope.
Okay.
You just get to go in.
And then...
If you subscribe, if you want the email notifications, you have to subscribe.
Yeah.
Where are the... Oh, they're right here. So this is what our policies look like on here currently. And once we have that updated and have all of our dates accurate and all of that, this will come off of this section completely. And when you just click on this part for the board education policies, there's going to just be something right here that's going to say, click this link to see our policies. Or you're going to click on this, and instead of opening a page, this page, it's going to just open directly to Diligent Community where our policies are at on that website.
It would be so much easier to navigate than what than this right here.
Nice.
So,
which is a double-edged sword, because that means we have to be really diligent in making sure that we are following our own policy.
Mm-hmm.
And others will be able to access it easier and correct us if we're wrong.
Okay. I think that's all I have for you. Like I said, if you have questions or need anything, need help with any of it, just send me a text or an email.
Everybody good?
Yeah.
Burn out? Done?
Mm-hmm.
What's left? Just me?
Yep.
We already have 15 subscribers to our YouTube channel.
Oh, dear.
What?
I haven't subscribed.
Are you there?
Probably if you're the admin.
Yeah. Once we get to 10 million, we should start our own reality show.
Right.
Okay.
Had the blooper reels.
In the interest of getting us out of here before 4 o'clock.
Enrollment projections.
This is a 30,000-foot conversation with some specifics, but I don't think it'll come to anybody surprise that enrollment in K-12 education in the state of Utah is down. They're calling it a historic downturn. I don't know. I think that might be a little bit liberal on the choice of descriptive words, because it's only a 0.07% down, so it equates to like 4,873 students down statewide.
How many?
4,873. Now that includes public and charter with those numbers. Public education is seeing a decrease mostly across the board. Charters are seeing an increase. Charters is almost up, they're like at 88,000 students now statewide. Whereas a lot of districts are experiencing significant decline. I would put us in that category at Grant County School District. There are a handful of, like Utah County, Alpine, that are seeing some sporadic growth. But generally, enrollment is down. I think if you look at us, statistically, we're seeing multiple years of smaller kindergarten classes coming in to our, and if that trickles through, I think it's important for the board to be just, and I'm not saying doomsday or anything, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but we need to take advantage of strategic opportunities we have to right size through attrition. If we're expecting lower enrollment, which means lower WPU, which means lower FTE, just being aware of that. So as these, and I can't speak historically for this district, but just as people are leaving, retiring, moving districts, whatnot, it's not going to necessarily be an automatic, yes, we're going to replace that person. We're going to pause and take a look and see, and like, right now, is this, do we need to replace? Do we need to take that and reallocate? Or do we need to just absorb that type of situation? So it's just having that mindset going in. It's not that we're, you know, trying to riff or lay it. It's nothing doomsday, no end of the world. Just, you know, being conservative and looking at this in good stewardship. So that is just a 30,000 foot point of view on that. Now we'll notice too, the other things that come into play, Moab Charter School, which I didn't realize this, but is one of the three smallest charter schools in the state of Utah, actually is one charter school that's, I don't know if the data is accurate, but they're reporting fairly decent growth. And then with the change going to the, with the new corporate ownership of the charter school, I don't know what that's going to look like, how that, you typically see some knee-jerk reactions to a major change like that, whether it's a shift to us or a shift away from us, and then a lot of times it will center back out and not be as impactful as we otherwise would have thought. We do have backup plans, contingency plans in place to handle major shift in enrollment.
For growth. But we don't need to deal with it if there's drop.
Yes.
Because it won't affect us until
correct.
The next year.
Correct. But for to absorb major growth, we have contingency plans and different options that we've looked at.
Because with that charter school, with depending on their options, we don't know where if it will stay. I mean, there are scenarios. It could go up. It could go down, depending on. I mean, it's not a.
And so, with new leadership coming to that charter school,
we
just has to play out. So we just have to kind of have our contingency plans in. And again, I don't think we're in a bad place. I do think, and there's been some miscommunication that I've been trying to address at the different buildings about attrition and class size reduction and student-teacher ratios. The student-teacher ratio that we're finalizing that we brought to you guys, that's not to scare anybody or to be wielded as a weapon, so to speak. It's just to help us know where we're at, to qualify our class sizes quantifiably in just good management. So just being aware and open to that. A lot of times, and it happens, it's happened here already, we'll talk about this in admin meeting, and I will be extremely clear about, you know, hey, we're not saying that we're going to go cut an entire program or a grade or something we're doing, and that kind of gets back to the people in that grade or program that they're being cut. Miscommunication, confusion, that's not why I'm bringing this up. I'm just bringing it up so that you have that mindset, just so that you are just aware of the place that Superintendent and I are at as we handle some of those, navigate some of those. The things that are concerning to me mostly out of the Southern.
Can I just quickly interrupt?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when we were doing the budget here, and Jerry was going through, we're in a good place and all, and then we're talking about student enrollment, and then I'm going, there's going to be a point in time when there's hard costs. You have to have more teachers or more students in the classes. Attrition. Do something about it. There's some things that we can tweak now and make it more palatable, but in the real world, eventually, if that changes, and I'm glad you brought this up, because that was my big question, was what are we doing? So you guys are on top of it. We'll be going into this with eyes open.
Yeah, so my management style on this,
I didn't mean
you just see the changes that come across as they report this, especially with how liquid some of the data is, that's coming in, you know, it looks like this, right? I don't want to manage.
These are people.
This is enrollment. I don't want to manage. I want our course
right.
to be more. So this is what we're trying to do, and that's why I'm giving you this heads
yep.
up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I agree. We might have student enrollment right here, right now. That doesn't mean I want to cut everything to here next year, because that's what's projected.
Right.
I want to be more gradual mm-hmm. and consistent.
And the other thing is, the two different philosophies is, or not philosophies, but there's attrition, which is when right. somebody retires, leaves the district, you just don't fill that position, versus RIF, meaning
yep.
we fire a person.
Reduction
in force.
Right.
So I didn't know if Jenna knew that RIF.
And I was hoping that we could be far enough ahead of the curve
that we don't get into a
that necessarily. It might turn
out. We want to use the smallest, the smallest stick possible. So, in that case. And I will tell you, the RIF policy that we currently have adopted needs to be changed significantly. It is an ambiguous, ineffective nightmare. Right now, so that's another thing that needs to be addressed before we ever get to a point where we need to use it.
That'll be taken care of now that you put that on our radar. Now we're all nervous.
So on that note, one of the more concerning things coming out of the Sutherland Institute, which is the one that is the group University of Utah is putting out all this data.
Right.
If you look at the different priorities across our decision makers. So if you take, what is the Speaker of the House, Schultz, his priorities are, as coming out of his office, as I can interpret them, expanding in CTE in the secondary and expanding the Utah Fitz All Scholarship. Yeah. You go to the Chair of the House Education Committee, class size reduction, ELL and chronic absenteeism is where they want to put their money. And if you go to Governor Cox, it is child nutrition, safety, cell phone regulation, and CTE. So those are the three different...
Nobody's on the same page.
On the same page. And as we all know, I shouldn't say we all know this, the legislature, legislatures as individuals, like to get their pet projects and funnel money towards that, which can be counterproductive when we're trying to manage in a way like this. If they start saying, we're pulling this much into CTE, and if we're not able to use it into CTE, when they're taking it away from somewhere else. So that's why those priorities are concerning to me. That's why it's important with the Joint Legislative Committee that we talked about, getting our priorities, that they talked about this morning, getting our priorities out there, being active in that, trying to keep our thumb on that so we know like which of these priorities will win out in the long run when all the log rolling is done. But just kind of being aware of that atmosphere, the environment that we're in right now, and my view at it. So if you want more in-depth information of my opinion on how we can handle that, I'm happy to meet with you one-on-one or do some additional training. Or if you have concerns with what I'm telling you right now, let me know so that I can make the proper adjustments. But just knowing that we're going into, I don't want to say we're creating a culture of attrition, but attrition is going to be a big tool that we're going to utilize as we navigate the next few years and see where we're going. Now, projections are student enrollment growth is not going to be up for likely a decade, significantly up, and that's projected for the Wasatch Front. Moab is going to lag behind that a little bit historically, and then you also have just the economy here in Moab being different, as in you're not seeing a lot of employment that's pulling in large family. So it's hard to navigate that as well. So just taking all those things into concern, keeping it on the back of your mind so that if we go forward, we're kind of just all on the same page.
What we need is another new mining boom.
There you go.
That's what we need.
And then, if there's not any questions on that, I'm going to end on a high note.
I have a quick question. How many kindergarten teachers are there at HMK?
There are four.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys saw it, but an article came out on KSL about audit uncovers major issues in Utah public school construction oversight. $3.6 billion have been spent since 2019, and they're just talking about accountability. They did an audit
86% of the projects that they looked into did not have the required Utah State Board of Education building permit. I believe that, I think it was 30 or 32 current projects that are going on right now, and 26 did not have the permit.
A permit from the USBE?
Yep.
They need to give a permit?
Grand County School District is one of the four that had their ducks in a row. So,
and that's important because of the questions we had with when you are dealing with people that are giving bids.
So anyways, that's a positive. We're one of the four in the state, so we'll take that. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, that was the last thing. I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
I heard you coming in.
I didn't hear.
I said I will put forth a motion to dismiss adjourn.
Laura Lee Green makes the motion. Dave Bearside seconds. We are adjourned at 3:44.
Is it okay to say so moved, or do you like to?
So.
Dave says so moved.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't.
Or do you prefer to say?
Do we want to move this stuff to someplace?
No, in a real motion.
Yeah.
I do prefer it.
Yeah.
Because it just, I think the more times you hear it,
yeah,
that's an important motion.
Yeah. Like adjournment.
Well, and in adjournment, you don't even have to vote on it.
Right.
So,
you can just say, we're adjourned.
And they made the motion. If you don't want to adjourn, you have to speak up quickly.
Yeah.
But that's just a, what's it called? A consent? Of something.
Yeah. I never have been in a meeting where people were willing to say, I adjourn. Because if you're really ready to adjourn, you really.
I don't
like
it.
Like it.
No, I wanted to
return it. Shay, we could throw the food
away, right? It's not that I hate it or anything, but
you
know what?
Okay.
I like it, but
going home?
Do you want us to, what is it? Do you want us to take these with us?
I just put
two bring them that I've had years and
years. I don't care. Yeah, I was going to help them.
I don't even know. I'm traveling by bike and I have this small bag.
It's told me it's not, this is perfect for what I'm using it for, but like,
You can return it. Like, you can order it, and then, you know what I mean? Like, if it's not one that you're trying to change the color, then you can return it if you don't like it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not in a rush, use it immediately. Like, I think
that's
something wherever it is you desire.
That's ours.
The color.
Oh, gosh.
The one I have.
I guess I should.
That's the one I have.
Stop the recording.